You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Coming up, why the Yankees and Mets are getting absolutely screwed, why Greg Williams thinks there is a breakout star this year for the New York Jets, and in this instance, he wasn't talking about Jamal Adams, and not everybody is happy that Worldwide West is going to be with the Knicks, and not everybody is considering football this fall a necessity. We'll get to all of that throughout the course of the show. First and foremost, we will get to your calls very shortly. So load up the lines at 800-919-3776 on Jamal Adams. So we know everything that's gone on so far, but for the first time today, you saw the olive branch extended, and you might have raised an eyebrow, and I would understand why. When Greg Williams, the Jets defensive coordinator, is available to the media, and you know he's going to get asked about Jamal Adams. You'll remember when Greg Williams first got here, one of the first things that he said to Jamal Adams was, "I've coached better." Yet today, the tune was changed. In reference to Jamal's contract, Greg Williams said, "I've got his back. I've got his back." And it's interesting, isn't it, that you would hear a member of the Jets staff say something like that about Jamal Adams right now? You would think that it's almost completely in direct opposition with what the message has been so far regarding Jamal Adams. Well, it's pretty simple. This was the first extending of the olive branch by the Jets. And it wasn't necessarily done by saying, "Listen, come on, all in, we'll be okay." No, 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 no. This was almost a good cop, bad cop routine. The organization has been the, quote, bad cop so far by not wanting to talk about a new deal for Jamal Adams. What Greg Williams did today, what the New York Jets did today, was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant by having Jamal Adams get complimented by his defensive coordinator. And he went on and on just about how good he is. Quote, "He has that ability not only to play as defensive back, but also play like a linebacker, play like a rusher, play like a run stopper. His multidimensional abilities allow you to move him around for the other team to try to find him." Now, look, Greg Williams understands that his defense is much better with Jamal Adams on the field. And when he compliments him like that and goes on and on about how he's smart, he's able to handle multiple things, and he loves to compete, and he says, "I want him to feel good about being here. I've got his back," on all those type things, I think the world of him. This was the Jets' way of trying to start mending the fences with Jamal Adams. It was step one, and it was a very smart one, because there is a mutual respect there between Williams and Adams. There is an understanding that Greg Williams is sending the message to Jamal Adams, "My defense is so much better with you in it. I need you." That's what he's saying in all of these things. "I need you." You are trying to pave out a very bumpy road right now and figure out a way to not hit more potholes moving forward. I fully believe Jamal Adams is going to be a Jet in 2020. I fully believe Jamal Adams will be on the football field in 2020. I don't think he'll sit out, assuming we have a season. I fully believe that Jamal Adams, after 2020, will be the highest paid Jet, will be the highest paid defensive back. because I think you're going to have, or the highest paid safety in all of football, because I think you're going to have a situation where the Jets are going to be able to figure out C.J. Mosley's contract one way or the other, meaning they'll either restructure it or they will cut him, move on, and take a $12 million dead cap hit and save $5 million in the process after the season. I think the latter is a little bit more unlikely than the former. Now, Jamal, in being the top paid safety in the game, would have to make somewhere north of $15 to $15.5 million to $50 million guaranteed. But there is something about Jamal that does make him difference. Him different. And there's one player specifically that he reminds me of, and that's Brian Dawkins. Brian Dawkins is one of the greatest safeties to ever play the game. And he was a guy that did all of those different things that we talk about with Jamal Adams. And so yesterday, Brian Dawkins was on WIP down in Philadelphia on with Marks, John Marks and Ike Reese. And they were celebrating that he's one of the top players in Philadelphia history, as in all of sports. But Doc was asked specifically about Jamal Adams. This is what he had to say.
This dude is so special that he can be here at a linebacker position. He can slide out to the slot. He can go back to the deep middle. He can go for deep half. He can do all of those things well. And so, yes, I believe that Jamal is one of those guys. And he is a leader. He's a leader of men, not just by words. His actions, how he goes and plays the game, how he practices, how he plays the game, the violence that he plays the game with. And he understands. I saw a play last year. We talked about this in one of the meetings we had, that getting a sack is not good enough. If you beat your guy quick and the quarterback still has the ball, getting a sack is not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
The ball is what you want. There's a play last year. You saw it. I saw it. Loved it. You had the quarterback, Giants.
Yep.
He didn't just get the sack. Matter of fact, I don't think the quarterback even fell down.
Didn't even hit the ground, yeah.
Took it.
Yep.
And ran with it. That's a dude understanding past just my responsibility or just what a stat is or just getting a quarterback hit. He understands past that. So that's another, I guess, notch on his belt as far as understanding all the aspects that you can have effect on the field.
So the point is this. We understand how good Jamal is as a player and all the different things that he does. And when you hear those compliments from Brian Dawkins, who was very similar as a player to Jamal Adams, I think all of New York would be very happy. All Jet fans would be very happy if Jamal turned out to be Brian Dawkins. If that's the case, and you have a guy like Greg Williams now speaking out, the Jets know what they have, and they're not going to let this get away from them. So they're starting to pave that road back and pave it with compliments and pave it with as much love as they can without making a deal with Jamal that would set a precedent for players who go out and complain and publicly come after the team and demand to be traded. Because when you do that, we all know you have to do it loud enough to get what you want. I think this was the first step back. I think this was the Jets' first attempt to extend that olive branch, and they're brilliant for doing it. Because look, unless you're going to get two first-round picks for Jamal or a one and a two, which is a lot, I don't think he's getting traded. I think they still hold out hope that he's going to be here. From everybody I talk to, that's what they want. They want him to be here. They just need his representatives to understand where they are from a salary cap standpoint. And while he has outperformed the contract so far, they will make it right eventually. Now, as a football player in the NFL. Can you trust that? Generally not, because what do the players always hear? It's a business. It's a business. It's a business. You know, the problem here is the Jets, they need Jamal, but they're not ready to win. Jamal is ready to get paid and or ready to win. I don't think they're going to end up trading him. I don't think the Cowboys are going to give them what they want. I think they'll want more from the Cowboys than other teams, because the Cowboys have, you know, been the ones letting little tidbits slip here and there. I think other teams that may have interest in him are not going to offer what the Jets need to get in return for a player of his caliber, and then you're at that impasse. So while the Jets need him, they also still have all of the leverage in this situation. But something very smart that Mike Tannenbaum talked about last week with DCR is this. When you feel like you're at this point and the only way to go is to break up, you have to go back to the player and work as hard as you can to mend that relationship, to make him understand how important he is, but also to make him understand the situation that you are in. Look, it may not end well. Maybe Jamal ends up sitting out the entire season. But, guys, don't fall under the impression for a second that the Jets are screwing this up. Because when I tell you this time they're getting it right, they're getting it right. These are not your same old Jets from years past in terms of how they're operated. I promise you that. 712. Carlin, 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Who do you blame more? Do you blame Jamal more? Do you blame the Jets more? And do you want Jamal Adams with this team at this point? Let's go. I want to talk football with you. I'm going to try something a little different tonight. And I know it's very hard to do. I would like to make this a corona-free zone for the evening.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Now we start with Jack in Manhattan. Jack, what's going on?
Oh, how are you?
Good, how you doing, Jack?
Hey, let me offer a different take on Jamal Adams.
Go.
You know, the Jets love him, right? They just can't pay him. It's a non-starter. So if you're – and he's acting up, so he's damaging not only his character, but he's damaging potential trade value. So if you're smart and you are and you're them, you don't come out and fight with him. You come out and say great things. Like, did Brian Cashman ever say anything bad about Sonny Gray? No, because he was a product he was trying to sell. Maybe this is a
plan. Actually, he did. He came out and said,
yeah, but
basically,
end,
sometimes it just doesn't work.
Block, when he had to put him on the block, in the end, he said nothing but good things about him.
Yeah, so maybe, but along the way, he said, yeah, this just ain't going to work.
Well,
wrong example. I get your point. Wrong guy. Go ahead.
No, but that's my point. Maybe they're coming out to do this to pump up his value because, you know, it's untenable. They can't pay for him, and he's only going to be a cancer, and he's only going to hurt the trade value and the asset product value. So why not start pumping him up?
Well, when you say they can't pay him right now. That's the issue.
Yeah, but that's a moot point then.
Why?
Because he's not bending. They can't pay him now, so that's a brick wall. That doesn't help anyone.
Well, if he wants to walk away from $4 million in playing this year, then what's exactly his leverage in this situation?
Well, it's clear he has no leverage, but maybe they just want to get rid of him now because he's not going to bend, and they just can't pay him for a couple of years.
No, I think they could pay him next year if they wanted to, and thanks for the call. I don't think it's a case of just get rid of him and let's talk him up to punch up his trade value. I don't buy that one in this case at all. I think this is, let's try to mend the fences for the long term and make him understand that we do love him and we do need him. This is something Mike Tannenbaum talked about last week. When you're in this kind of a situation with a player who wants the money that they want, let's all agree on one thing, okay? Jamal Adams is a difference-making player. And while he is a safety, and it's hard to give $17, $18 million as a safety to him, you can make him the top-paid safety in the game. And I think the Jets would absolutely do that next year. You know, I understand that you can point around to other players and say, why did this guy get paid after 3 years? Why did that guy get paid after 3 years? Other organizations make mistakes sometimes. I think Jamal is a guy that's going to be exactly the same after you pay him. But this is all numbers right now to me. And maybe, just maybe, they don't want to set that precedent of paying after year three. It's going to be very interesting next year with Sam Darnold. Don't be shocked if they don't pay Sam right away. I don't think that's a lock, even if he has a good year. I think it's more a possibility that they kick him a couple extra bucks for a year or two. But remember, they don't have to pay him. He may want to get paid, but do you think Sam Darnold's going to sit out? I don't see that happening. And frankly, I don't see Jamal sitting out this year either. I'd be very surprised if that was the case. I think right now he's trying to do everything that's within his power to try to force the issue. The problem is the Jets aren't blinking here. And you got to admit, as a Jet fan, when you hear a statement like that, it feels nice. It feels different. It feels a little warm and tingly, like, you know, maybe they're doing the right things. Ooh, that's what that feels like. Ira in Staten Island. Hey, Ira.
Hey, what's going on, Chris? How are you?
Vitamin I, what do you got?
I totally agree that they are playing it the right way. They don't need to do anything right now. You know, they have them on the contract. I do agree with Tannenbaum. I think it would be nice to smooth things over. But on the other end, and I'm all for the players get every penny that they want, because, you know, in a blink they could be gone if they get hurt, or owners just get rid of them. So, you know, I understand both sides. But I think once he came out and he said he'll play for 7 or 8 teams under his current contract and worry about an extension later on, I think that was the final straw. And I don't know how he saves face and comes in and see his teammates after basically says he don't want to be here because he'd rather play somewhere else for the same deal. So I think right now it's – I hate
but
to say it.
But here's the thing about the teammates, okay? The one thing that we always forget, Ira, is that in football in particular – every one of those guys in that room understands, as you pointed out, it could all end tomorrow. So they're never going to begrudge a guy trying to get his money when he can get it.
Well, that's true, but I just think he went about it the wrong way. He should have done it.
Oh, I think he did too. I think he did too, and I don't think it helps his reputation, because I don't necessarily think that this is who Jamal is. It's one thing when you complain once or twice, but now he's done it 3 times, and now he's, you know, he's trying to feed through the media and get other narratives out there. Like, I heard one other thing today that, you know, he believes the Jets put out there that he wanted $20 million a year. I don't think the Jets are in that mode. The Jets are not trying to do anything to tick him off right now. I think they're trying to make this as right as they can while understanding that they can't give him the deal he wants.
I think they would be happy to make him the highest paid safety, but not right now. Come in, do your job, keep quiet, and at some point between this year and next year, you'll get your money. But, you know, I understand his point. You don't want to step on the field for $3.5 million. You know, maybe if they kiss and make up, maybe they're kind of you know, give them a bump up this year in good faith, but they really don't have to. And quite frankly, I don't think I would, considering the way,
well,
you know,
how he's handled it. How he's handled it, I think, has hurt the chances of that, Ira. Thanks for the call. I wouldn't say, you know, shut up and come in and play. I'd let him voice his concerns, you know, at the beginning of training camp. Not let him. He's a man. He's going to do whatever he wants, or he's an adult. He's going to do whatever he wants. But I'd say, look, if you want to talk about your concerns, talk about your concerns. Get it out of your system once. Let's not make this a season-long thing, because we do all have to agree at some point this has to turn to being about football. And Jamal would get that. Look, the thing about Jamal is he's outspoken. And sometimes that's great, and sometimes it's not. And he is a player that is driven by emotion. And I think in his life, outwardly, he is driven by emotion. And I think you're seeing that right now. It's not like he's the first great, great player to have a squabble with a team where it looked like a breakup was going to happen, but then maybe it didn't.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Got open lines at 800-919-3776. Pete Bell, is that the coach from Blue Chips? Pete Bell? I think it is. Nick Nolte? Greg must have sold him on the extra bounty loot he could make. Nice. That's great. Jerry, I love how media fruitcakes try to interpret what coaches say. Yeah, Adams gives two blanks if he is loved. Like normal people, he wants his money. Yes, Jerry, he wants his money. We understand that. But it is important for players to feel wanted. It is important for everybody to feel wanted. I'm not saying it's as important as money, but when you're trying to mend some fences here, you obviously have to work toward trying to have this guy feel as good as possible. One of those lines in there that Greg Williams said was, I want him to feel good about where he is. You know, that's a very important sentiment. Because, Jerry, I don't know if you know this, players, actually human beings. Let's see here. MG Swiss, unless the Jets plan to go out and sign Larry Warford and Logan Ryan, they should bonus Adams this year and next. If they do sign him, it shows them they're ready to win now and willing to pull the plug on Gase if they need to. You know, guys, on the whole Gase thing, I don't buy that for 1 second. Not for 1 second. I think that was Jamal's way to look for another potential blockade he can put up between himself and the Jets. And as I said last night and on Twitter, the dumbest thing that he could have done was to feed that to Manish at the Daily News, because Manish writes something like that, nobody takes it seriously. Have you heard word one about that all day today? No. Other than Alex Lewis, the offensive lineman, getting bent out of shape. And I'll cut him some slack because he's still relatively new to New York and doesn't know what Manish's game is. Andy Santoro, fire Gase or nothing else matters. Look, Gase may end up being on the chopping block, but it ain't going to happen before this season. And it ain't going to happen to make Jamal Adams happy, that's for sure. 800-919-3776, Danny, out on Long Island. Hello, Danny, what's cooking?
I feel good, Chris. Do you feel good?
I always feel good.
Good. You know, when you're dealing with athletes and people with large egos and you never know how they're going to react to being buttered up, because whether this is a brilliant move from the Jets or a bad move from the Jets will be determined on how he reacts to it. Because tomorrow he could tweet out, well, if I'm so damn good, then pay me my damn money. So I understand what the Jets are saying, but like you said, the man wants to get paid. He's not going to be tricked and say, you know what? The Jets are right. I'll take a dime less than I think I'm worth.
No. It's not like that's the only thing. It's just, They need to sit down in front of one another, and they have to hammer this out. And this is just the first overtures that will be made. That's all.
I agree. Like Tannenbaum said, the bottom line is, come on in, kid. We love you. Can we get you a cup of coffee? Would you like some ice cream? But we can't afford to pay you what you want to be paid because we're not paying a safety net. If that's too much, we will happy to accommodate you a trade. It's the only way it can be done, and it's being honest with him. It's not being underhanded, and he has to respect it just like they have to respect his desire to get paid. It's about business. You know, just like you know pizzas with pineapple and ham, they know how much they can afford to pay a safety.
Danny, please tell me that you don't.
Listen, pizza toppings start and end with thinly sliced sausage. Anybody who orders at my house, it's not a pizza if it has ham and pineapple on it. Pizza indicates sauce and cheese. You want to throw on a little pepperoni, maybe some buffalo chicken, I'll live with it. You show up with ham and pineapple, it's no longer a pizza. Have you ever got a taco that had pineapple? No, they haven't reinvented a taco filling yet. But somehow I go to a pizzeria, they have a taco slice. When I go to Taco Bell, do they have the pizza taco? No, they do not. When I want a pizza, I want pizza. When I want taco, I want taco. And if I feel like having ham with pineapple for dinner, that's awesome as well. But all two shall not meet. Thank you. I went off my rant there.
I think I'm going to cry. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. He couldn't have encapsulated it better. Oh, thank you, Danny. Thank you for saying what is a universal truth. My wife is from California, and every week there is a place nearby where we live out in western New Jersey that makes a great pie. When we moved twice, it takes us forever to find the right pizza. And you guys know what I'm talking about. When you move, you have to try out a bunch of different places if you don't find it right away. Well, we finally found it, and they make them in personal sizes. And she gets what's called a Hawaiian pizza, but it's not the one with the ham. She gets it with chicken, pineapple, and balsamic vinegar. She's from Northern California, okay? She's my wife. She's from Northern California. She gets what she wants, and I'm not going to cast aspersions. And I don't think it's coincidental, by the way, that somehow within the last year or so, I have actually developed an allergy to pineapple. I mean, I got these big, thick lips anyway, but if I have pineapple out, they blow up like two pontoons. It is ugly. But man, what Danny said was beautiful. Machiavelli in the Bronx is up next. Machiavelli, what's going on?
Yeah, I live in Morris Park, so pizza is pretty much in my blood. And when I ask for pineapple on it, they'll just look at me like I'm out of my mind.
I thought you'd say they'd just smack you. I mean, here's where it ends. To me, if it's not a meat, it doesn't belong on a pizza. Is that fair? If it's not pepperoni, chicken, sausage, bacon, I'll go with meatball, too. It kind of ends right there. If it's not a meat, outside of, like, extra cheese, it doesn't belong on a pizza. No onions, no olives, no peppers, none of that. Am I wrong?
No, completely correct.
Thank you.
Now, I would like to talk about Jamal Adams. I haven't been watching football for that long. Mm-hmm. It's only been about 6 years. I'm not that old. I'm only 18. And I've noticed that in football, nothing lasts long. That's why people like Tom Brady and Peyton are so great, because they've done it for so long and they've just been consistent with it. Now, the Jets do not know if Jamal will keep this type of performance his whole career. They don't know if he's going to blow his Achilles, God forbid, next year or anything like that. So they don't want to pay him guaranteed record money. He wants his check a week early without getting the whole performance through.
Well, look, and I understand where he's coming from, because he has made All-Pro and he has outperformed the contract that he got when he came into the league. He was a top 10 pick for a reason. I would look at this from his perspective, and I would understand that they're not in the position to do it this second. And I can't, I know I want to look at other players around the league and point to them and say, why did that guy get paid? Why did Eddie Jackson get paid? Why are they talking to Myles Garrett after 3 years? Well, Eddie Jackson shouldn't have gotten paid. It's the Chicago Bears. They're a bad organization. When it comes to Myles Garrett, when it comes to Patrick Mahomes, you do have to be reasonable and understand that though you're versatile and can do so many different things, you are not that. You are not a premier player at a premier position. And that's why those teams talk about locking up those guys that early.
I believe the Jets shouldn't trade him at all, because the what you would get back for him, maybe trading him to a good team like the Seahawks or the Cowboys, would be maybe a late first-round pick at best, and you wouldn't get back what you got from him.
No, I don't think you can trade him unless you're getting a lot in return, Machiavelli. Thanks for the call. And the reason is, if you're going to get two first-round picks, you obviously make the trade, okay? I don't think it's likely that you're getting that right now. And people talk about the price going down. The Jets are not going to hand away Jamal Adams. That kind of talk is simply folly. You would not do that. It is a bad idea from a business sense. So, they will wait this out. Yes, they're in a bit of a storm with him right now, but hopefully, calmer waters are ahead.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
It really bothered me. And it was so simple, and yet baseball still screwed it up. I love interleague play when it comes to the Mets and Yankees. I really do. I enjoy the fact that you get this New York rivalry every year. But there is absolutely no reason whatsoever for the Mets and Yankees to face off against each other six times in a 60-game season. 10% of your schedule is against your crosstown rival. Now, why is that such a big deal? Because it puts them at an incredible disadvantage. Look at the Tampa Bay Rays. If we're talking about regional rivals, who do they get to play six times? The Marlins. Look at some of the other regional rivals. If you're talking about, Washington, the Nationals get the Orioles six times. I mean, this is serving up the screw job right here. This is something that this season is unnecessary. And the easiest way to do it was to have the teams in the division play 10 games each against one another, and then the teams in the corresponding division play each other four times. Now, the Mets are at a major disadvantage to begin with because they're playing in what might be the best division in baseball overall. I mean, think about, getting to play in the Central out in the American League or in the National League for that matter. I mean, you can fatten up like a turkey right before Thanksgiving dinner, for Pete's sake. You get to play some of those teams a bunch of times, and all of a sudden, you're in the mix when maybe you didn't expect to be in the mix. You know, the Mets having to play not just against the teams in their division, but then having to play the Yankees six times instead of four, and also get to have to play the Red Sox, have to play the Rays. I mean, yes, they do get the Marlins, and yes, they do get the Orioles, so that does help, there's no doubt, but you're unbalancing it for absolutely no reason, and it is a situation where they're at a disadvantage. They're at a remarkable disadvantage. They should not have to play the Yankees six times, and then, I'll be curious to see who they lose the other games against. You know, who they end up playing three times instead of four. It better not be the Orioles. It better not be the Blue Jays. You know, you'd be playing hopefully all the same teams in your division the same amount. But you look at the National League East, they got their hands full to begin with. You going to make them play extra games against the Yankees? No. And if I'm the Yankees, I don't want to play the Mets two more times. Are you going to take away an Oriole game for me? Are you going to take away a Marlin game for me? What are you going to do there? Every single game is going to matter here. And I think when you do that, you are giving other teams in baseball a distinct advantage. I mean, just think about who the Milwaukee Brewers or who the Cubs or who the Cardinals get to play. You know, they get the Reds and the Pirates to begin with, and then they get the White Sox, and they get the Tigers, and they get the Royals. Maybe the Indians will be good. Maybe the Twins will be good, but it's such a massive advantage. Oh, it's ridiculous. I hate that. I absolutely hate that from a Yankee and Met specifically perspective. I think they really do get screwed and how they're trying to lay it out regionally, and why are they doing it? Well, of course, they're doing it for television. They're doing it so that SNY and yes, absolutely, ESPN may get an extra Met-Yankee game. And to me, it's unfair to the teams to do that. It is unfair to those teams to put them in that position. 800-919-3776. We return to the phones. Let us go with Tom in Amityville. Thomas, how are you?
I'm all right. How about yourself, Chris?
You know, I'm okay.
All right, so I got a quick point about pizza. I agree with you. Canadian pizza is garbage. Or
I didn't even know it was called Canadian pizza.
Canadian or Hawaiian is actually the typical one.
Yeah, the Hawaiian's the one that I've heard before. Hey, come on. Hawaii and pizza, come on. It's not such a thing. It's not a thing.
No, it's not. But I will say, if you've ever had spinach, garlic, and mushroom pizza, that's really good.
The only one there is that's acceptable on a pizza is garlic. That's it.
All right. To each their own. But I got a quick question about the baseball reopening plan. I heard on the Michael Kay show earlier, they were talking about the contingencies for a rain delay and pushing the game off until the next day when they can complete it. Unfortunately, I missed the first part of the conversation, so I don't know if that's
conjecture. It's not any rain delay, okay? They're going to try to play the game. What they're saying is they're not – now, if you have a game that gets put in a rain delay in the third inning, they're not going to just wipe the game out completely and restart it. They will suspend it.
Yeah, they'll pick it up.
Right. They will pick it up. Like, if you can't continue to play at any point that night – like they'll try to pick it up that night. If they can't, then it will be suspended and not just wiped out and restarted.
So my question is, like, how that can affect a city like Seattle, where, you know, it rains a lot in Seattle, and if you have to keep postponing games because there's, you know, a 3-day, 4-day rainstorm, won't that kind of make it hard to make those games up?
Well, here's the good news. Seattle has a roof that they can slide right in. So that won't be a problem there.
Wow, I didn't even think about that. I forgot that the new stadium has a dome.
Yeah.
Retractable roof.
So I don't think that'll be much of a problem. So
no, but news. I mean,
if
that can happen.
If Kansas City somehow gets hit by a 4-day storm, then we've got a problem. But
yeah,
I don't think that will be an issue. And Tom, maybe the fact that you didn't know that there was a sliding roof in Seattle makes me question your choices in pizza more. I mean, like your judgment all the way around, suspect. Thanks for the call. Suspect, to say the least. Tom in Queens is next on 98.7 ESPN. Hello, Tom.
Hello. I just want to let you know, I'm an essential worker, and I have to take a quiz every day
And if I fail the quiz, I'm off my schedule for 21 days. I find it almost impossible that these sports are coming back. One guy tests positive. He's been in a locker room for even minutes or on the field making a tag. These guys are going to be infected, and they're going to be playing sports, or they're not playing at all. So I'm concerned. I'm getting my hopes up for Major League Baseball, NHL hockey, and NFL, and NBA, and I have a funny feeling with what I hear on the radio and seeing the news on television that we're getting our hopes up for nothing. And maybe it's just better safe than sorry.
Tom, I don't want to be unrealistic, but it is, let's call it what it is, okay? 2020 has sucked, right? Fair?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It has sucked. So I'm going to choose to be optimistic on this one. I'm going to let this play out, and I'm going to worry about it when we get into it. I don't want to rush back into it. I don't want to see anybody rush back into it. But I also don't want to make the call too early here. I get the point. And by the way, appreciate the fact that you're an essential worker. What do?
Well, I fix homes. I'm in home improvements. And my company is dealing with essential services.
Well, listen, we appreciate the fact that we appreciate the fact that you're out there working, because I know it's not easy to do with all of this going on, but at least we can take solace in knowing, and I appreciate the phone call, that right now here, over the last couple of months, we have generally done the right thing, and we have seen excellent results as a result of that. I want to be positive about all this stuff. I'm not going to be Debbie Downer about it. You know, do I worry about it? Of course I do. But we have a sniff at sports, and if they can come back, great. If it's not safe, don't. I'm going to choose to hope that they can come back, and maybe there won't be as bad of a spike as they're expecting. We do know they've had it in certain states, and we don't know if that's going away anytime soon. And we do know that there are a lot of stupid people that won't wear masks. That, to me, is just beyond ridiculous. Like, I saw down in Florida one of those videos of a city council meeting and what people were citing and not wanting to wear masks went from the Illuminati to 5G to comparing it. I heard on DCR today comparing it to the reason why a person doesn't want to wear underwear, you have to be able to breathe. Yeah. I mean, the mask isn't making you sicker. It's keeping other people from getting sick and potentially keeping you from getting sick, but whatever.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
800-919-3776. Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. Here's Mark on the Garden State Parkway who has been patient. Mark, what's going on?
Chris, how you doing? I just want to talk to you about pizza. I know you're a traditionalist. I am in the industry. I sell food to restaurants. That's everything from fresh vegetables for produce, for toppings on pizza, to canned roasted peppers, artichoke hearts, things like that. I think vegetables do belong on pizza, and I also like anchovies.
You're in the business.
Clams.
You have a financial stake in it. Of course
you do. That's true. But I'm going to tell you one thing that doesn't belong on a pizza, and I hope you agree with me, salad. Salad pizza is a crime against pizza. And salad pizza with ranch dressing on top of it is soggy Sue, and I refuse to eat that. That's disgrazia.
Well, I'm glad you draw the line somewhere. I mean,
I have
Pete's sake. How do I take your how do I take your opinion seriously on it when you've got literal money?
Well, I love
in
to eat.
Game.
You love to eat. We both love to eat, so we're connoisseurs, right?
Yes, but at the same time, I don't benefit financially from throwing peppers on a pizza. Meanwhile, you got a money factory when you're selling, you know, mushrooms and onions out there.
We need all the help we can get right now opening up. So we'll put anything on a pizza,
that
but
card.
No salad. No salad, Chris.
No salad on the pizza, but don't play that card. You know it's wrong.
Okay, buddy. Love you. Thanks again.
All right. Be good. I just don't want to hear it. Oh, my Lord. Guy, I mean, it's, come on. You can't have an opinion when you benefit financially from it. You can't do it. Julius in Morristown. Hello, Julius. How are you?
I'm good, Chris. How's it going, brother?
You know, Special J, I'm all right.
Hey, Chris, you know what? All this pizza talk, man, I tell you what. If I never have another slice of pizza for the rest of my life, I'll be totally fine. And I like pizza.
You know what? I'm leaving.
Seriously. Don't do me like that.
Your life. I get it. You know, the world may end tomorrow the way things are going. I would not be okay with that. I didn't even mean to start this whole pizza nightmare tonight, but you people are really showing your true colors here, and it's freaking disturbing.
Hey, you know what, Chris? I really just wanted to touch on the Knicks, man. I'm a lifelong Knicks fan, and like Alan Hahn, man, like I'm optimistic because of the moves. I like all the moves, but I'm still pessimistic because of our track record. You know what I mean? But let me ask you this. Like, I know World Wide West has all these connections. Leon Rose is supposed to be this, you know, player whisperer. Like, what direction do we go in if this doesn't work out? If, if, you know, we can't get it together this time around. Like, where are we going? Do I have to be a Laker fan?
Okay, but here's the point. I know what it's been the last 25 years. 20 years, ooh, really. 20 years. I know what it's been. Give it a shot here. I actually am very, very positive about what they have done. And I think in the next 2 to 3 years, the worm is going to turn. I really believe that. I think the addition of World Wide West with Leon Rose shows their commitment to relationship building. And that's number one. Number two, you know, if you can, I mean, and I say this in a way that's just let people do their jobs. You know, let Leon Rose and Wes do their jobs. Don't have the owner getting involved. There's no need for that. What there is a need for is winning. And the way to do that is to let these guys, Leon Rose, who I believe in, yes, as a former agent, absolutely, but most important, we know the most important thing here, and that is to get the talent in the door in the NBA. And they have to build, and I'm not going to use that word culture, but they have to be able to sell other players that this is a good place to be, and I honestly believe that they will be able to do that. I never bought into the Fizdale idea. I was on board for Phil Jackson, but I wasn't recognizing when I was on board for Phil Jackson just how important all of those relationships are in the league.
Yeah, the relationships are huge, are really huge. I get to a point where, you know, as positive as how different these moves look now and feel even, I always happen to think back like, hey, are we cursed? You know, because we're due, man. We're due. And I'm just such a big fan, man. And it's hard to get excited. It's really hard to get excited. And I want to.
I'm not asking you to get excited yet. I'm asking you just to be a little optimistic. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. Because I do think that this is going to go your way this time. I really do. Unless there's some sort of massive blow up again, which we can't rule out. I do think it's going to go your way this time.
Definitely. Definitely.
I will say this though, Julius. If you and I are sitting here and having this discussion in 4 years, where did it all go wrong? Then the answer to your question is yes, you become a Laker fan.
My man. Appreciate you, brother.
Later. Then, to me, you've done all you can do for that relationship. You have done all you can do for that relationship. Mike in Hicksville next, 98.7 ESPN. Mike, what do you got, buddy?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good, bud. How are you?
I just wanted to give you my pizza story. I had a problem the other night. I was drinking a lot, and I ordered a pizza, and I'm waiting. It was like 45 minutes. I call up.
Oh, God.
They said it was on its way.
Oh.
Another 45 minutes. Somebody rings my bell. I open it up. When I ordered the pizza, I said, do me a favor. I want an extra large pie. I want pineapple and extra cheese. So when I open the door, I'm looking, and there's a 350-pound Hawaiian woman with a yeast infection.
That's classy. Please dump that out. There, as I said in that promo, there is absolutely nothing worse than sitting there for 45 minutes just anticipating that arrival. And it shows up, and they screwed up the order. Like, when that happens, I am so crestfallen. If we order out and I go and pick it up, and I don't check the order at the restaurant, like, there is one place in particular, and I won't say the name because I don't want to besmirch them, but there is one place that we keep going back to, and every single time, something is wrong with my order. And for some reason, I'm dumb enough to not always check before I leave picking it up. Paulie in Hoboken. Yo, Paulie.
Hey, Chris. How's it going, Chris? How you doing?
It's going well. How you doing, bud?
Let me tell you something. You go to Fiori's on Saturday, you sink your teeth into a mozzarella roast beef with the brown gravy. You won't know if you're coming or going. You know what I'm saying, Chris? You know, I'm sure you had it before.
I have not. Fiori's
in Hoboken.
I assume that's your place. I haven't been to Hoboken really since I was single consistently. I mean, you know. And back in the day, I spent a lot of time in Hoboken, but not so much the last 15 years.
Let me tell you something. You sink your teeth into one of them.
Nice.
All right, kids. Have a good day.
Thanks, Paulie. How about Steve at the Jersey Shore? Steve, what do you got tonight, brother?
Hey, man. I got something to tell you. Whoever came up with the pineapple was probably stoned out of their mind and decided it was a good idea for a midnight snack. But that's about it. It's only good for stoner food, man.
Then they're probably disappointing, I'm guessing.
Well, they're so stoned, they don't even know what they're eating, so who knows?
Listen, all I can tell you is I've getting texts all over the place, and this show is really taking an ugly turn, and I'm trying to grab it back and get control of it, but you people won't let me do it because you keep talking about this.
You get. You stirred the pot, and this is what you get, man.
Well, there's no stirring of the pot. I'm right, they're wrong, period. That's it. I can have discussions about other things. I can't have a discussion about this. This is like last week. I was out taking a walk, and I'm listening to DCR, and they're doing CMT, and they're doing desserts on Friday. And I got to listen to DiPietro, who's in unbelievable shape. Looks like he works out about 15 hours a day, and he goes to bed at 7 o'clock at night. That's another thing. Canty was off, which bothered me even more because, you know, Chris, I would respect his opinion. He's a big guy. He's not fat, but he's a big guy. And Rothenberg, who's lost a ton of weight and seems to have forgotten his roots and where he came from. And these guys are talking about how key lime pie is an unbelievable dessert. And, you know, tiramisu, I'll toss that aside like it's nothing. I mean, I called up. Like, I texted DiPietro, and I said, you are an embarrassment right now. And he said, call in. And I called in, and I scolded him for 5 minutes. And with Rothenberg, he's, like, despondent that he could possibly be wrong about this. You know.
All right. Now, let me ask you this. Do you call it sauce or gravy? And I'll hang up and let you debate that.
Primarily sauce, but I don't have a problem if you call it gravy. I'm good either way, but I call it sauce. And see, here's the thing. That was the only thing my mother could cook. Now, she's 87 years old. She's in assisted living now and not listening to this show. So I could say this. My mother was a butcher. Oh, my God. I don't know if I've said this before, and I love my mom. Don't get me wrong. I didn't know turkey wasn't supposed to be bone dry until roughly 2014. That's how bad it was. Bone dry. Bone dry. The only thing that she could make consistently that wasn't overcooked or, you know, and granted, she had 5 kids in 7 years, me 8 years later. Okay, maybe I'm asking a lot to turn my mother into Bobby Flay. But her sauce and meatballs was excellent. And we're not even Italian at all. We're Irish on both sides of my family. Her sauce and her meatballs, excellent. Later found out, got that recipe somewhere else. Been fooled my whole life. It's funny, finding out chocolate chip cookies came off the back of the package, the recipe. I mean, come on. 800-919-3776. It's 8:30. It's Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. At 9 o'clock, the Carlin Chronicles comes your way. Tonight's episode, why does Michael Strahan hate me? We'll tell you that, and we will discuss Jamal Adams and why the Jets did the old good cop, bad cop routine today and why it works. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.